have no idea what loss is.
You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it? Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat. Belly. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. And we're here, finally, at one of the last preview sort of parts we're going to be doing in this very big build-up to Season 2. That's what we're going to be doing today. This is the spoiler-free preview podcast. If you missed it I can't remember, at some point in the last week, I can't remember what day it was on, did a spoiler preview for Season 2, obviously talking about the events in the game and predictions and things like that. But you've got nothing to worry about today unless I accidentally slip up and say something, although I don't think I'm going to. So yeah, this is your spoiler free preview podcast for Season 2. We have a ton of notes, a good amount of stuff to get into, so yeah, I suppose we should just get it straight in, because it's been nearly two and a half years, because it was January 2023 when we last started Season 1, the adaption of the first game. And yeah, been waiting I've been waiting longer than that for the second season, because obviously played the second game all the way in 2020. We have some dates that I went and hunted down. I thought we'd do a little recap of that. But before we get into any of that, I think the best place for us to start is, so obviously we've all kind of, well, I hope those of you have watched Season 1, because we're going to be talking about all that and everything. Our history with The Last of Us 2, specifically the second game, because our histories are very, very different. Seeing as your answer is going to be a lot quicker, David, what is your what's your experience with the second game? How many times have you played it? What do you know about it? All that kind of stuff.
None. How about you?
Yeah.
But I never got around to picking up the second game. I don't know whether I didn't have an operational console maybe at the time. I know it's out on PC now, but yeah, I don't think I had an operational console to play it on when it came out, and I just never got around to picking it up, and I haven't really got around to playing it since. So, I have zero expectations. I have zero, I have no idea what happens in the second game. So, you know, whereas I have played the first game a little bit. I played it through to the end, but I played it through once a long time ago. But I did have some idea of that game, whereas I have absolutely nothing on the second game. So
that's genuinely, I know this is a standard podcast thing to say, of like, oh, that's really interesting to me, but that's genuinely very interesting to me, that all the information that's been buzzing around in my head for 5 years and you don't have any of it.
No.
So yeah, all of my all of my many thoughts and all that kind of stuff, and you have no experience with it, which I think will make for a very interesting podcast.
Yes.
So for me, I have played this game 7.5 times. If you're wondering why half, is because when I recently did, and you can check out the podcast in the same feed, did a big podcast project in preparation for Season 2. I played the second, obviously I played it through a bunch of times anyway, so I didn't quite feel the need of like, oh, Season 2 is coming up, I should play through the whole game, because if it was, okay, I jump into the second half of that game and like think, oh, where are they going to put those bits and pieces and do all that, we're not going to see that for probably another 2 years, so it wasn't worth doing that part. So I went up to at least where I think season two is going to possibly end. I could be right, I could be wrong. It could be after that point in the story. It could be the same point in the story. It could be somewhat before that. You know, worth mentioning that, yeah, throughout everything, that as big as a fan of I am of the game and everything else, I don't know, you know, how season two is going to open, how it's going to finish, how the episodes are exactly going to go. There's things I can pretty sure and pretty certainly guess that are going to happen in the second season. But, you know, I wasn't there on set. I haven't read the script or anything like that. So all I can still do is guess as a fan as to when that's going to come up. So, yeah, 7.5 times. And that's, those have just kind of happened over the last 5 years for different reasons and different, none of them have really been sort of, oh, I fancy another go in the game. They've all had, I'm not going to sit here and name what all of them are because that'd be a bit boring, but I've had specific reasons like for each playthrough or to get different trophies or go through New Game Plus or any of those kind of things. So, yeah. For those of you that are kind of new here, you can immediately tell the sort of, again, David's not played it and I've played it a bunch. So, yeah, keep that in mind as we go through this second season. And on top of that, of course, I've spent many an hour thinking, dreaming, talking, crying over this second game. And, of course, when the show was announced and all that sort of thing, then start thinking of what's it going to look like, what's it going to be like. And it was great when we, what I kind of really liked, I can't remember which podcast I did this on, of like, okay, I think it was my podcast project that I did it on, actually, because I was doing the comparing and revisiting. That was the sort of goal of that one. And one of the things I tried to do was, okay, I know the first game, the first season is an example of what they're going to look to do with an adaption, and then look at the second game and go, okay, now that I have a sample size, big sample size, 9 episodes, of what that translation might look like, what is it now going to look like with this second game and this sort of second piece of the story? So, I mean, I can't break down, like, every single kind of thing I've done over the years and all that kind of stuff, because there's been a lot of it. But watched many videos, read many conversations, watched many videos. And YouTube being YouTube goes, hey, you're watching a lot of these Last of Us videos, let's just give you more and more and more of them. It's been interesting in this last week, actually, because now that they've started doing, obviously, like, spoiler-free interviews and stuff, at first it was like, please can I see at least five seconds of what this second season like, and now every day that I go onto YouTube or whatever, there's like a new 5-minute, new 10-minute video of, you know, Neil or Craig or whoever else being interviewed. Now it's just like splashed all over the place. So, but yeah, there's a lot of history with Last of Us 2, and some of it will probably get brought up as we go through with stuff. Got some good news today as well, as is next in my notes, because in terms of my history with Last of Us 2, I'll just kind of leave it for there, and then we can pick up other stuff as we go through. Been renewed for season 3. Now, this is quite a lot off the presses. This was, what, about 3 hours ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so good timing, I suppose. And not that it would have been sort of us sitting here going, oh, do you think that they'll renew it? I think it was, you know...
Well,
it was a more case of when rather than if that they would... We're doing it for a third season. So yeah, that's been, I mean, look, as big as, you know, HBO itself is, and they're the more careful part of Warner Brothers, the one that makes the smarter choices, there's been a lot of weird and shocking sort of like tax write-offs and things that have been cancelled from Warner Brothers. Not that The Last of Us was ever on that table of like, oh, would it get a tax write-off? Because I think that would just be stupid. Like, an outright stupid choice. Of course, there's things like, you know, is it I always forget, something versus Acme? I always forget the name.
It's the Coyote versus...
Coyote versus Acme, yeah. Acme. That was sort of mucked about with, of course, the infamous Batgirl cancellation.
Yes.
Then there was what we now know is the more sensible one, which was like cancelling the Powerpuff Girls show, things like that. And things like that. So, Warner Brothers has been known to muck about with things a bit, but it does genuinely seem like from all the different departments in Warner Brothers, HBO's still their kind of golden goose and still the one that they look after the best, I suppose. So, yeah, got season three renewal. And just to quickly sort of touch upon it, there was a lot of weird panic today. I was like, oh, if the second game's season two and they have to cram that into 7 episodes, and then, oh, a third season's coming and that's going to be in 2 years, that means that they need to release Last of Us Part 3 immediately. That's not how any of that's going to work. No. One of the things that have been repeatedly said is that for 2, possibly 3 seasons, because they talked about a possible season 4, that the second game will be split into at least 2 parts, so seasons 2 and 3, and then possibly a season 4. Now, I think if you're going to do the extensions or the expansion bits, like the separate episodes and the entirety of the second game, I think that you could fairly comfortably have enough content for 3 seasons, but that's something more of a sort of future prediction. So, yeah, what are you thinking of a third season renewal and how that might all go?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it made perfect sense. As you say, they've repeatedly said that they were never going to be able to cram everything into one season.
Because
the second game is much larger than the first. So it was always likely that this was going to get at least 2 seasons. As to where they go after that, I mean, if they do get it into 2 seasons, I think Neil has already said that they don't want to push themselves into a Game of Thrones situation where they get past the source material. So if they get to the end of season three and they haven't announced a third game, because they've not even announced anything yet. I mean, although we assume it's been worked on, but I mean, you know,
there's probably some notes somewhere in Neil Druckmann's, you know, office at least. Yeah, probably.
But even then, I mean, you know, 4 years off is still a long time, you know, assuming you're taking 2 years between seasons. So season three is 2 years away at least. And then you've got another 2 years to wait for a fourth season, and they've still not announced anything. And, you know, so it seems unlikely. I suspect they're probably either going to manage to get 3 seasons out of the second game, or they're going to end up doing just the, you know, season 2, season 3, and that will be it for now. Or the other option is they turn to spin-offs and do, you know, as they've proved, they can take elements of the game, and as they proved with season 1, the standout episode with the two guys whose names have just gone completely out of my head, but with the two of them, the couple, you know, that story.
Oh, Bill and Frank. Yeah,
Bill and Frank. That's it. Yeah, that story was in the main game, but nowhere near in that format. And I mean, I think they've proved that you can take small elements from the game and run them off in a wildly different direction. So there's nothing to say that you can pause Joel and Ellie's story at that point and potentially go and do something else as a sort of spin-off in this world and do that as a series if you wanted to do that, rather than continuing Joel and Ellie's story and then come back and do, you know, in how, you know, once the third game's out, if they wanted to come back and do more, maybe do that.
Sure HBO would be knocking on their door and you know what, yeah, come back to us.
I mean, you know, there are options without doing more of the game adaptations. You know, I can understand that they don't want to take Joel and Ellie's story past where they are in the games, but that doesn't necessarily mean they need to leave this world entirely. You could, you know, it's a rich world they've built with lots of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
You could, if you wanted to make a fourth season, make it a spin-off on following a different character in some way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's completely original and they do something like that. But I mean, who knows at the moment? Well, all we know at the moment is that they're making at least, you know, we've got the second season coming, we've got the third season coming, and those will definitely be covering parts of the second game. Whether it's the whole of the second game, we don't know. But
Let's get through those first. And Yeah.
I mean, we'll have a better idea at the end of season two by where they end season two, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, as to where it is in the game. Because if that's only a third of the way through the game by the time they end it, it's like, well, okay, maybe you will get three seasons out of this. But...
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's worth noting for like some people that don't know as well. I know I've mentioned this on other podcasts, but this is on the same sort of topic. Because obviously Neil is kind of, Neil Druckmann is the, one of the main ones that's kind of, you know, needed for this whole thing. Because again, people kind of say like, okay, this is from Neil's brain. And while that's very true, he is the lead guy on this, there is still, you know, Evan Wells, who worked on the games, and there's still Bruce Stradley, and there's still Amy Henning, and then Hallie Gross, who still works at Naughty Dog and all that. So you still got all that stuff going on. The thing we need to remember as well, and there's been a lot of, people have noticed a lot of sort of, oh, when we get to the end of season three, and then are you going to make the third game? Are you going to adapt that? And I get that that's like the exciting thing to ask him, right? In between possibly seasons two and three, he's got a new IP to launch. He's working on a game called Intergalactic. And
yes,
I think something that I feel might be very frustrating for Neil at the moment is everyone's so, not on his case, but like, hey, what's going to happen? And where's part three? And where's this and that? And he's like, you can kind of almost see, he's like, guys, I'm trying to work on this completely other thing as well called Intergalactic. And I have to make sure that it does well, because that's a brand new launch IP for, like, that's such a big deal. And that's going to have so many eyes on it. And I wonder, so let's say if season three comes out in 2027, and there's some talk at the moment that Intergalactic itself might come out in 2027, which looks okay, we only have a very short trailer right now, looks very, very interesting. I kind of, as much as I love The Last of Us, I don't want it to kind of get in the way of Intergalactic. And I wonder if Neil's thinking about that, of like, can everyone kind of stop asking me about part three, because I have to do these seasons of this show and then launch Intergalactic as well. As much as three might be somewhere or in the pipeline or talked about somewhere, Intergalactic is going to happen first. And again, pressure, new IP, PlayStation first party, Naughty Dog, Neil Druckmann, there's going to be a lot of pressure there. So I get this sense of, when people ask him about, oh, if part three comes out, is that going to be season five? Is that going to be season whatever? And you can kind of see in the back of my mind, he's thinking like, okay, part three is further away than that. I have to do Intergalactic first. So yeah. Sort of stop asking me about part three. But anyway, again, all that is kind of future stuff. I just thought I'd kind of explain, like, he's a very busy guy and he's got a lot of expectations and a lot of pressure on him. So there we go. Anyway, that's for the future for season three, but good that we've got that in the bag before we jump into season two. Speaking of schedules and stuff, I wanted to go over screeners and schedules. So this is for our podcast and what we're going to be doing. So we don't have any screeners this season. For those of you that might be wondering, am I, you know, mad about it or whatever? Nope, they, you know, HBO doesn't owe me anything. Naughty Dog doesn't owe me anything. The screeners seem to have been a bit different this year as well, because there was the sort of like review embargo that dropped a few days ago, and for most of the reviews out there, it doesn't seem like it's for, you know, how we got like, what was it, episodes 1 to 4 and then like 5 and 6, and then we sort of got like chunks of episodes dropped a couple of weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. for season one. It seems like everybody that's seen the show and reviewed it, apart from people that just went to the, because they had the premiere in, I don't know where it was, but they had a premiere recently as well, where people saw like just the first episode, which is different to this whole screeners thing. It seems like people that, so, you know, big outlets like Deadline, IGN and all that sort of stuff have seen the whole season. And I never expected, like, if we were going to get screeners, that we would get like the whole season dropped at our feet. So it feels like they've done something a little bit different there anyway. But I was always trying to be prepared, like, okay, just because you've got them for season one, don't go assuming you've got them for season two. There could be different mm-hmm. things going on, whatever, and that was 2 years ago. So in my mind, to try and come up with, okay, if we don't get the screener, obviously if we do get them, which we haven't, that would technically make things easier. But if we don't get them, how are we going to kind of cover the show? Not that that's going to be difficult to do. Anyway, what's I've got in my mind to do is going to be similar to what we usually kind of do with these Sunday, Monday sort of HBO Sky shows, you know, like our Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, all that sort of stuff we've done in the past. So yeah, spoiler preview's already out. You can go and check that out, obviously, if you know what happens in the game, whether it's that you've watched cutscenes or you've played it or you've watched a friend play it or whatever version of that. So that's already out. Did check yesterday on Sky's schedule because they weren't quite promoting it, and I was like, okay, maybe they might not be. I just wanted to be completely sure in case I go to tune in at 2 a.m. and it's like a different show on or something, which would throw my whole plan up in the air. Because I'm not more excited about this second season, but sort of anticipating it more and waited a long time and all that sort of thing. There's three different versions or three different episodes for reviews that one of which I plan to do with you and we'll probably do on our Wednesday slots. So what I was going to do is, because for season one, I only did it for the first episode because it was kind of, oh my God, here's the first look kind of at this TV adaption. What is it? And my immediate kind of thoughts there. I'm planning on doing that with every episode, and what that will be is a very off the cuff, there won't really be any notes, maybe I'll have the episode's name or whatever. I'm going to pretty much come straight in here after the episode's finished, give a sort of, I mean, I'll say 10 to 15 minutes, I know what I'm like with this franchise. so that episode will be as long as it will be, and it will just be me kind of just loosely here's sort of what I thought of the episode. I might make those spoiler free just in case, because you know it's late at night, some people do have to get up, they might have to go to work, and if they want to like listen on their commute or something and they haven't seen the episode, they can still get my thoughts, and I might not need to use the spoilers for that. I'll make it very clear before I get into those podcasts what it is that I'm going to do, but I think for the first one at least, because I don't know for those ones if I'll need to get into spoilers. I want to do that as a sort of just, hey, I've just seen it, been waiting for this thing for ages. What did I kind of think? So I'm going to do that. That will be, I don't know what length of time that will be, but that will be a very off-the-cuff kind of, here's what I think. And I'll try to put up that up the same night. Hopefully it doesn't get too late. But, I mean, look, this thing's going to come out on Sunday. What do you all think I'm going to be doing at 2 a.m? Do you think I'm going to be asleep while this thing's on the air? Do you think that I'm going to be doing, if I'm awake, that I'm going to be doing something else? No chance. Absolutely no chance. And that goes for all the 7 weeks that we're going to get. So going to do that at that point. Obviously, I wouldn't expect you to join me at that time of night.
No.
But that's where on Wednesdays, I think we'll continue doing it Wednesday nights like we're doing right now, is more of a concentrated, proper breakdown. Get David in here with me and we can do our usual kind of episode recap review sort of thing. That will be, well, it will be a spoiler one for those episodes, but obviously I still won't spoil things after that, so it will work the same way it sort of did with season one. And then depending on what's happening, because Yellow Jackets is going off the air this week, Man United annoyingly have Europa League on Thursdays, either on Thursday or Friday, because Wednesday might be a bit soon, I might do some kind of like bonus spoiler podcast thing. And what that will consist of is sort of, okay, we have episode one, these are the bits that we've seen, what might happen next, when might certain bits happen next, you know, that kind of thing. So that will be more of a spoiler one, but I'll put like, you know, 201, 202, whatever spoiler bonus episode so that you all kind of know what it is. Might be some notes for that kind of thing, or I'll see how that goes. And I was thinking like for that one, I don't know if I'll do that every episode, but I'm pretty sure every week I'll always have something to say, and there'll be sort of, here's where we're at in the story, what spoilery bit we're going to get to next. All that kind of thing. So, does that plan sound good to you?
Yeah, that all sounds fine to me.
Good, good. That's what we're doing with kind of the schedule. Again, we don't have screeners. We'll just be watching it on Sky Atlantic as we have over here. And we'll just take it from there. If anything else pops up or changes, we will let you know. Of course, the podcast will be on your feeds, The World of Last of Us, the Entertainment Talk feed, and entertainmenttalk.org as well. I think that's it for screeners and schedules and things like that. Let's talk about our excitement next, which I think are both... Now, while I do think you're probably excited for season two, I'm the one that's kind of been, you know, waiting for this for years and have spent a lot of time thinking and talking and dreaming and all sorts of things about this second season. But again, we are 2 years removed from season one. I don't know how much Last of Us content you've consumed or reconsumed since then, but where's your excitement level for season two?
I am looking forward to it. I really enjoyed the first season. It's always a decent quality drama. The first season was a very, very high quality drama. I think you're excited enough for the both of us. So, you know, I'm just very happy to have it back. I enjoy it as a TV show, but I am not, you know, well, as I say, I haven't played the second game. I'm not as immersed in the world as you are and as much of a fan of the video games as you are. So, you know, I am looking forward to it and seeing where the story goes. I know there are a lot more people involved in on screen in the second season. There's a much bigger cast for it. I'm just interested to see what it is. So,
all right, cool, good. In terms of me coming up with some sort of sentence to describe how excited I am, I don't know what that is or looks like or how to convey that properly, which I know is sort of what I'm supposed to do, but I have spent a lot of time thinking about what the second season will look like. I've tried to imagine what certain scenes would look like. I've tried to think in other ways about, like, okay, we know we're going to get like maybe some individual episodes for certain characters to sort of expand on their stories, thinking about who they're going to be, what that's going to look like. Like, even just if we just talk about just today, let alone the last 5 years or so, I was sitting here making notes and it took me an hour to write these notes down, but I was watching like old trailers for the game, and I was watching trailers for the second game, and then rewatched the trailers for, like, you know, this second season, and I saw like little, you know, music video edits and things like that. So I was just sitting there just kind of putting those on, and that actually did actually help me with notes, because it sort of made me think of like certain things and that. Yeah, just when I think about like this game and its scope, which is one of the things Neil's pointed out of, like, hey, how's season one going to be different to season two? And one of the things is the scope, which we can talk about with the obviously notably bigger cast. But yeah, I just like, yeah, just spent a lot of time thinking about what this will look like, and just, you go from this, again, very good looking CG / motion capture video game, which obviously looks incredible, but then like trying to think of some of my favorite scenes or some of the more brutal, some of the more darker scenes, and like what will that look like in live action, and these bits that I've played again 7.5 times. It's been a lot. And I was trying to think when I was like doing these notes as well, and we've covered, I don't know how many like dedicated podcasts we've done for different shows, and I've been, you know, excited for a lot of the different things that we've done. And we spent a lot of time covering, you know, things like Walking Dead, which we loved, done a lot of Toy Story podcasts, talked about Crash Bandicoot a lot, Spider-Man, Batman, you know, things like that. But I was thinking specifically for the weekly breakdown shows that we do, and like getting excited for coming back to a season or things like that. If this is the most excited I've been specifically for, okay, for now that we kind of know what this could look like, again, because we have the first game, we have the first season, we have a sample size there of what it could look like, and thinking, okay, is this the most excited I've been specifically for covering a returning show? Because covering a new show, like even if it is an adaptation of something and not like a new IP, you still don't quite know exactly what you're going to get. And some fans of adaptions of different things have been, you know, let down by adaptions, even if they've known like what to expect or whatever, or certain adaptions don't come out well and that sort of thing. A good example, because I'm playing through the Uncharted games at the moment, is like when we had the Uncharted film. And for those that have played the game, such as myself, we knew what we could see. We knew what it looked like. We knew what was there. And at least in my opinion, the Uncharted film was like weirdly boring, which is the one thing I didn't expect it to kind of be. It's a Hollywood action blockbuster. And as I'm going through those games, not to kind of change topic a little bit here, I'm just talking about adaptions. And I just finished the first game the other day, and I started the second one yesterday. And I'm going through this game, and I'm like, how did you take this? Kind of not to put Uncharted down, it's very, very good, but it's compared to something like The Last of Us, it's much more kind of just simple jump action heavy. It's like, how did you take something like that and make it? How was boring the thing that you came up with from that? And then it sort of. So again, that's what I'm using there is that's just an example of a thing that's coming out with an adaptation like The Last of Us is doing. You know what you could expect from it, and then you maybe get a result that's not as good. But with this second season specifically, because I do like the second game more, and I do think the second game story is not necessarily better, but more open and all that sort of thing. But now that we have an actual sample size of what we could expect, because now we have the season one sample to go off of. The kind of excitement driving into that as well. Because even for me, when I was like I wrote my own recaps for the first season, because my brain instantly kind of knew what scenes I'd seen. I'd seen them some of those scenes before, not necessarily in the same order or the same whatever. And then sitting there and kind of, because I never mentioned this when we covered season one, the way that I was like able to sit there and like read these recaps for season one, even something like that I was really looking forward to, and just kind of like reading out this story that I really love and all that sort of thing. So to get the opportunity to do that again for season two, I think is going to be really exciting. So yeah, what you basically need to take from that is I'm incredibly, incredibly excited, and we're yeah less than a few le less than a week now, a few days away from it starting, which feels weird. I remember even just, it feels like a few weeks ago, but I remember posts from all these Last of Us fan accounts that I obviously follow, and they were like, hey, 6 weeks, 5 weeks. And I was like, that's still ages away. And now we're less than a week. And it's one of them things where those last couple of weeks creep up on you, and you're like, oh, it's 2 weeks now. And now it's like, what, 4 or 5 days or something. So.
It's there was actually a quote from Craig Maddison when he was talking about, so somebody asked the question, like, a lot of video game adaptations fail. What, how did you manage to avoid those pitfalls? And he's basically his answer was sort of, there are a couple of issues. One, which is that a lot of the time when it's Hollywood remaking, or making a, like, the Uncharted movie, it seems to have been done by people that are not gamers and are not fans of the video game in the first place, which is where you have the huge change with The Last of Us because of Druckmann's involvement in it. And also, Marsden was a fan of it in the first place. So you've got that, which is one thing. In a lot of cases, they sort of take whatever it is and just slap the name on it, and it's like, okay, that will make an Uncharted movie. And it's like, no, you've sort of missed the point entirely. And the other issue he mentions is, which I thought was quite interesting, is the fact that a lot of video games, something like Halo, for example, takes inspiration from existing IP. Like, there are certain things like alien stuff in Halo that might take inspiration from a movie like Aliens. And you're like, well, so you're sort of already at that point making a sort of copy of a copy. So you're it's sort of an he describes it as an echo of an echo, which also causes problems. So and I think one of the things with The Last of Us is, I mean, yes, it is a essentially a zombie horror, but they have got that slight sort of twist to it, and it's more a sort of straight up genre thing. So you've got that. But I mean, the important fact of, I think, is that you've got the original creator involved, and you've got the somebody who is a huge fan of the original property co-writing it with him. So, I think that makes a difference. I noticed actually on the latest season, Hayley Gross, who was a writer on Last of Us 2, has co-written with Neil and Craig the last couple of episodes as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Craig's written, I think, 5 episodes, and then Neil, Craig, and Haley write 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Something interesting I kind of remember. I forgot to write this in my notes, but yes, this is how things pop up in your brain. Because this story... How do I say this without... I have to be careful about... I feel like it hasn't happened yet, but once we get into characters and talking about stuff, I'm going to feel like I'm on quite thin ice for not spoiling things. Let's just say because we have a lot of new female characters, we've got people like Abby, we've got people like Dina, we've got... a bunch of other people in the cast. And when they did the Last of Us 2 documentary, it was called Grounded. I covered that as well, if those of you want to check that podcast out. And Neil was going through bits of the story. And one of the things he said was when they get to some of the more intimate parts, because there's some love and there's some relationships in the second game. Not in like a CW Riverdale type of thing. We're not going there. I hope not, anyway. That like... he felt like somewhat uncomfortable with that, and then kind of wanted like a different person to come in, and that's when he brought Hallie in. And there was, let's just say, there was a lot of comments, a lot of more silly negative comments about how the women in this game are handled. I'm not going to get into that here, and we will probably come across it when we cover the episodes. And one of the things she kind of mentioned is like, okay, when it comes to women, both, let's say, in the real world and when it comes to writing stories for women, one kind of thing she said that really stood out that was interesting is like, we're not defined by our vaginas, which I thought was a kind of interesting way to phrase that. There was more context in that, but again, I don't want to risk accidentally spoiling anything, because it's very, very thin. It's been so it's been actually a bit funny watching some of like the spoiler free interviews for this, and when someone gets asked a question about something, and specifically the amount of times, let's say Neil is in the room with another cast member and they sort of look over to him before they go to answer a question. I remember there was this comment on one of the panels that they did, and someone said like, hey, why are they being so weird with each other? And I'm like, you don't understand how coy they're having to be with each other and how careful they're having to be with each other as well, just to not slip up on stuff. And it was sometimes they'd literally turn around and be like, hey, Neil, can I mention this thing or that thing? And he'd either say yes or no. So there was that as well. Anyway, our expectations, our excitement. I suppose I'll ask, what are you kind of expecting for this second season? Anything particular looking out for or anything like that?
I have no idea where the story's going. All I know is it's set 5 years after the events of season one. So, no, I have zero expectations. I know a little bit that there are some new characters. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, there is this... the love story sort of thing going on, but beyond that, no, I have zero expectations of it at all.
Yeah, so. just good TV. Good TV, yes, is what you're hoping for. My expectations. So it's the kind of main thing I'm genuinely looking forward to this is, and I know I keep saying this a million times, but it still applies, is seeing this game come to life and seeing this game in live action, and going from, which we've already got again a sample size from the trailers, is seeing, like, again, game looks great. It's on PS4, it's on PS5. I'll read out some dates in a minute. Is seeing, like, all these scenes that I know and love and have visited so many times, to see Last of Us 2 but looking real, is going to be... And that's something I really enjoyed about Season 1. Again, is, like, taking this first game that I know and love, seeing it come to... Seeing, you know, real people dressed up as the characters... performing as the characters and doing a damn good job of it, and going from there. See, to me, that there's a certain way that, like, let's say Neil sat down with me and said, okay, Matt, how do you think we should lay out season two? It probably won't be the same format, the same way, especially if I, you know, had that conversation with Craig, for example, who's obviously a big TV person, and Craig could very well turn around, let's say, to me and say, hey, Matt, you can't quite do this in this way because of TV, because of this and that. And I would listen to him because he knows more of what he's talking about. Because I've always had kind of in my mind of like, okay, I think it might start this way. I think it could have a cliffhanger here. Maybe these episodes here, maybe this and that. So I've got that kind of laid out. But in terms of the expectation of when things might happen, how things might happen, all that sort of thing, you've got to kind of not have your mind open in a way of, oh, they might, you know, completely change big lore sort of narrative pieces or something. But it might not quite play out in the exact same way I think it's going to. And we've had, look, excellent examples of that. We had the Bill and Frank thing. That story wasn't told in the same way or the same format, but it gave a different version. It gave a different idea of that. And we might get similar stuff like that that I don't know that they're going to do or maybe don't expect that they're going to do. Again, I've got a list of characters in my mind that you could do separate episodes for, more backstory for. And I'll just have to see how their interpretation of how they want to tell this story comes about and things. As long as they don't change, like, massive, big, drastic things. And look, I'm not one of them people that sort of, oh, you know, a new comic book suit for a DC character is revealed and I go and pick through it and, like, oh, the sleeves are too short or the, you know, cape's not long enough or Superman's got pants, it's all ruined. You know, I'm not one of them sort of people. But I've just got kind of in my mind that even if I've got my own sort of this is how I would do it, it's just simply maybe not going to be the... I mean, if it's beat for beat, dot for dot, the exact same way I've imagined it, I would be more surprised that that comes out than, you know, what they have in mind. So, but look, I trust Neil and Craig and Hallie and all the other people that they've sat down, looked through this game probably more than once and said, okay, this is when we need to do this, that and the other. So... but yeah, honestly, the main number one thing I'm looking forward to is to seeing this game that I know and love be put to live action screen and to see, and I know it's weird for me to say that because I've said loads of times I'm not a visuals person, but just to see this thing look real is just, it's quite amazing to me. And they did a damn good job of bringing it to life in season one, so I'm very much looking forward to that. There's other spoilery things that I have for my expectations and things like that, but I'll save that for another time. The thing I always talk about next is the violence. And you can take what you can from the trailers that we've seen. They haven't showed... They've showed little glimpses of things, and again, I won't go into some of those. And we've heard time and time again that, okay, this is more visceral, this is more brutal, this is more violent than Season 1. All of those things are probably very true. Again, I say probably because I haven't seen the second season. But... to take from the story of part two and the story of part one, yeah, season two's got, again, wider scope, more characters, there's a lot more kind of going on, and there are some, more than one, I'm not trying to, like, hint towards what, even one specific thing, but there's some very, very violent things that happen in this season, and there was something I wanted to do, there was a way I was trying to think of. There's a way that I want the violence to be portrayed in this season, and I was trying to think of the best way for me to kind of describe it. Now, I don't want to get, like, you know, serious here. This isn't like sort of last week's podcast where we talked about the whole Israel-Palestine thing, which, by the way, just a reflection of that, I thought that went quite well, and I thought we had a good conversation with that, just to kind of reflect on that for a moment. I was going to maybe give, like, a little bit of a warning. I don't know quite how necessary that is. I'm just aware that people could get... I'm not going to, like, say anything outrageous or anything like that. This is just me. This is... What I'm about to describe is kind of what I want this season to do to me, if that makes sense. Now, some people get a bit more kind of, like, squeamish and things like that, understandably, with certain bits of violence. Now, I think if you do end up watching shows like maybe The Invincible, shows like The Boys, you'll probably get quite used to, you know, big stupid violence very quickly, especially for something like The Boys, which has more of a visceral thing to it because it's like live action as well, right? What I was going to say is, for anybody that's like had domestic violence affect them. Now, I'm not giving a warning for the season. I don't think that applies in that way. I'm going to kind of describe something. And for those of you that don't want to maybe hear what I'm going to describe, again, it's nothing kind of like, I'm not going to describe someone doing something violent. There's kind of a metaphor or an idea I've got in my mind as to how I want the show to make me feel. Now, the reason I want it to make me feel this way is, you know when you get like, and this doesn't just apply to Last of Us, you know when you get like character deaths or you get big violent effective things that can happen. It's happened in Game of Thrones, happened in Walking Dead, has happened in The Boys, but let's be honest, in a much more silly sense. And there's characters that you'll love that might not make it to points in the story that you, you know, that want them to. And that, again, that's applied to those big, big shows. And when these violent things do happen in stories and people tend to get kind of, you know, defensive and very kind of like they're really affected and kind of shocked by, like, let's say a big violent death. You know, there's, you know, the famous one from Walking Dead, not going to spoil that, but there's kind of that one which made people tune out the show. And this is, I'm not even specifically talking about character deaths in the sense, I'm talking about like the general way that part two does its violence. Now, for those of you who don't want to hear what I'm about to say, just in case you are sensitive to that stuff, because I don't want to go accidentally triggering somebody like from whatever. Because the way the violence in part two works so well, and it is very visceral and it is very, very violent, and all of it's got kind of its reason for being there, I sort of want this show to push me into a corner and beat me up very badly. And what I mean by that, not to make that sound like really like I want to be beaten up, but and they have kind of said like, hey, yeah, this season will be more brutal and more violent, and I just think that it should be, because of what I've seen happens in the second game. And again, I'm not talking about specific character deaths, I'm talking about the world of The Last of Us with its violence in the second game. That's what I'm trying to sort of, because again, there's more characters, the bigger scope, there's more stuff kind of going on. Because for me, if you have a big, brave, brutal kind of story like this, I don't want you to tone your violence down. Which, if you bring up another example, let's say like Daredevil, people were kind of worried that like, oh, it's going to be Disneyfied, not so violent, all this sort of thing. Turned out that wasn't a problem. And obviously HBO is very fine with doing a lot of stuff. But I don't think I want to go through a version of this story. Not that I'll like quit the episodes or something. I want it to try to find a way, and it will be arguably more visceral because you've got the live action aspect and you've got real people on camera who, okay, it's not real, will be dying in quite violent ways. And I want the show to give me that same feeling of, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing in front of me sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But because if it doesn't have that effect to it, which I think it will, and there's certain hints to certain things in the trailer, I just don't think it gives as much of a punch if you don't go for it as much. Now, I think it will. I think it will be the violent, brutal thing it's setting out to be. And a lot of these reviews that have come out in the past week saying like, yeah, it's much more violent, much more brutal, much more visceral. I was happy to see that, and to see people kind of like have that as not one of their main talking points, because they talked about like performance and story and things like that. I'm happy to see that that was noted in there, because sometimes it's just when you've got a story that is much more brutal and violent like this, you need to portray it that same way in your adaption. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the violence of that. What do you think of that whole the violence of what we, well, yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think if we had one criticism of the first season, was there was a sort of lack of action at points in that first season. You know, I mean, when they did it, it was really good. But it was sort of few and far between. And I mean, I don't know exactly where the story goes in the second season. So I think a little bit more of that, in whatever form that comes, I think would be interesting. So yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued to see what they do with it.
Nice. Nice. For the, I'll just give a little, for those of you that have played the game, and I did talk about this a bit in the spoiler podcast, don't worry, I won't spoil anything. There's a particular mechanic that happens in this game, a particular way that yeah, something happens, and I'll be very interested to see what that looks like on, not just on the screen, but again the live action aspect, because it will look different and that sort of thing. And I'm curious to see what that looks like, which we have some small hints of in the trailer. So that'll be very, very interesting. Cool, let's go through our, actually we should take a break, we haven't done that yet, have we, before we get into our cast list. So let's do that, and we will continue from there. We'll see you for that in a minute.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, to talk about other podcasts, we did our Gaming Talk. Was it actually yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday. Gaming Talk podcast. No, it was on Monday, excuse me. On Monday, which we talked about the further reveal of the Nintendo Switch 2, and I was very underwhelmed by what they showed for Switch 2, so we talked all about that. Robert was more positive, but I, yeah, still got a thing or two to say about those Joy-Cons. We talked about AI in gaming. Jeff Keighley posted a little something, and we had a discussion about that. We talked about a lot of other stuff as well, and we also talked about what Ubisoft could actually do with the IP that they've got. They're in a bit of a pickle in a lot of different ways, but still have access to some very good IP, so what could they do with all of that? Over on the United cast, we did have a Manchester derby this week, but you wouldn't have thought it because it was quite lackluster. It was finished Man United 0, Manchester City 0. And for once in the last like 6-5 years or so, we probably, it should have really been our turn to bat them 4-5-6-0. They were not very good at all. They did not look like they had a plan. We just couldn't score. Obviously, neither of us could because it was 0-0. Yeah, just disappointed. First of all, disappointed we didn't win. Also disappointed that we genuinely could have smashed them to bits, and that could have been quite fun. But yeah, that's that game at the moment. Of course, there's a Europa League game tomorrow against, who are we playing against? Lyon away, which could be difficult. We'll have to wait and see. So that's the United cast. Over on Hear Me Roar for Yellow Jackets, we're up to Season 3, Episode 9, the penultimate episode of the season. Hopefully not the penultimate episode of the series. We're all waiting patiently for a renewal. We do have the season finale this week on Friday, so we're going to finish that and then move properly into Last of a Season 2. I'm kind of glad I'm not going to be covering both shows at the same time, because that's a lot of... Yellow Jackets gives you a lot to think about with all the weird, wild, and wonderful right. stuff that happens, yes. And then obviously my brain gets very occupied talking about and thinking about Last of Us 2, so I'm glad that they're not going to be on at the same time. So, yes, the Yellow Jackets season finale will be this Friday, and hopefully it's not the final episode. What else have we got? World of Last of Us podcast as well. This is for the spoiler preview. Again, only listen to that if you know about what happens or have played the game or whatever. Speaking of the episode I referenced earlier, and The Last of Us 1, talking about Neil Druckmann and the Israel-Palestine situation. So we talked all about that. Just looking at my notes here, I don't think we could have snuck that discussion into this podcast.
No.
So glad that we did that separately, but that's there if you want to listen to that. Over on Gaming Talk the week before, we talked about Naughty Dog and all the games they may or may not have in development. We talked about Hogwarts Legacy as well, and talked about superhero games. Did a podcast for Snow White. It wasn't a review. I don't intend on seeing the film. It was called Snow White and the Brain Rot Racism. You can make from that title whatever you will. But just talking about everything in and around that film, because it's all just noisy at the moment. So talked about all of that. And yeah, that's pretty much what we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. All right. There's a note in my notes that I have... Again, not due to spoilers, but due to a surprise that I have hidden from you, that I told people I was going to ask you on the spoiler podcast. So this is where we get into the more kind of fun stuff. So the cast. All right, I'm just going to read out the cast, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Which order should I do this in? I'm going to be funny and different and read this cast list backwards, because why not? So we've got someone called Ben... Allers, as someone called Burton. That is a new character that we don't know about. And there are a few of them here. We've got Hateni Park as Else Park. She's got the same surname as her character. That's another new character we don't know anything about. Again, I try to do, you know, predictions, things like that for that character. Then we have Robert John Burke as Seth, who plays a part in the game. He is very much a known character. So you've got him. Then you've got Alana... Yubach as Harana. She's again another new character that we don't know about. And then we have Noah Lemana as Kat. We know who she is. She is kind of, I don't think she'll be used in the same way, but she's kind of our Frank for this season. She's mentioned in the right. game. She's not seen on screen. She's got something to do with Ellie. I'll describe some of what these characters do, but I don't really want to tell you too much about all of them because there's some nice surprises. But yeah, Kat, she got cast quite late, or the announcement was quite late. She's got something to do with Ellie, and she's referenced in the game, but not shown. We don't actually know if she lives or dies either, based on the story. So there we go. Then you've got Joe Pantanolio as Eugene. He is in the same category as Kat. He's mentioned in the second game. He's not seen on screen, but we know kind of what he's about. Then we got the wonderful Jeffrey Wright as Isaac. We know all about him. Ariella Bera as Mel. Danny Ramirez as Manny. For those of you who've seen Captain America, he is the Falcon at the moment. Then Tati Gabrielle, who's going to be playing Nora. She's also going to be, not the character, the actress. is going to be playing, I think she's called Jade, from Intergalactic, the game that I mentioned earlier, which Neil Druckmann's working on. So she's, working with Neil Druckmann, which I guess is quite cool. Spencer Lord as Owen. Isabella Merced, I think is her surname, as Dina. Young Mazzino as Jesse. Caitlin Dever as Abby. Catherine O'Hara, the wonderful Catherine O'Hara, as Gail. Rutina Wesley as Maria. Gabrielle Luna as Tommy. Pedro Pascal as Joel. And Bella Ramsey, for those of you annoyed, is indeed back as Ellie for the second season. We won't get into that conversation because I...
No.
Yeah. so, yeah. Before I ask you the fun question, what I'm going to very quickly do is tell you which... this might give you a hint to certain stuff, but more of a fun hint and not a spoilery sort of hint. I'm going to tell you which of these characters I actually like, because I don't... like all of them, not in a way of like they're badly written, it's just their actions in the story and whatnot and that sort of thing. Although some people think different things about some of these characters, so I'm not pointing out a definitive kind of this character's bad, you should hate them, just because I do. There's a lot of different opinions about some of these characters out there. Can kind of skip some of the top row, apart from Gail. We don't know if she's going to be a good or a bad person. She looks like she's trying to help Joel, and we'll get into Joel's therapy in a minute. Ellie, obviously I like her. Joel, Tommy, Maria, I like all of them. Abby, absolutely love that character. And she's had a lot of discussion about her. Of course, she's going to be played by Caitlin Dever. And absolutely love her. I think she's a phenomenal, phenomenal character, and I can't wait to see Caitlin, almost said betraying, no, portraying her in the game. Jesse's a really, really great, really nice character. Love having him around. He's really great. Dina, really love her as well. She's going to be really brilliant. Owen, I like him a lot. He makes, I mean, they all make, you know, interesting moral black and white and grey choices. All of these characters do. But he makes some choices in the game that people, and this is like the smaller scale stuff that people weren't happy with, that I kind of understood more. So again, the different perspective kind of thing. Nora is a very interesting character. I guess I like her. She's plays an interesting role. That's kind of what I'll say about her. Manny, he's fine. He's cool. He does some stuff again in the story that people didn't quite like or whatever. Again, I understood kind of some of what he was doing. We then have Mel. I absolutely hate Mel. She is, apart from some of the more blatantly dark and bad characters, because there are some. Again, it's not always about agreeing or accepting what a character does. It's about understanding what a character does. Oh, I understand why she makes some of the choices that she makes and says some of the things to people that she says, but ended up hating her in a good way. Like, she's, you know, a character that you kind of like to hate. Not like she's not the same as like a Joffrey or something. Joffrey's somebody that, like, you want him to die, but you also don't, because he's so thrilling and interesting to watch. She doesn't quite fall into that box. But she's very interesting, but she's one of my more hated characters in the story. But because she's so interesting. Isaac, I like him quite a lot. He's, again, I'm using the word interesting a lot because I don't want to talk about anything that these characters do. Very, very interesting. And he's also the same example we had for, I always get the two names mixed up, not Maria, Marlena, the Firefly's leader, who she was played by the same person, if you remember, in the first game and in the first season. Jeffrey Wright also, again, portrayed or played this character in the game. So you've got kind of this is the season 2 version of like the same person from the game. But as soon as I saw that popping up of like Jeffrey Isaac cast as Isaac, I was like, yep, makes total sense. The only other person you maybe could have got for that, and he doesn't look like the character, which I don't see as an issue, is like a Giancarlo Esposito type person. Isaac's a very interesting dialogue heavy character, and we know how good like Giancarlo is with dialogue, but Jeffrey's very good with that as well, so really like him. Eugene and Kat I have no real opinion on because we don't quite see them. Seth's a nasty piece of work as well. Get into his story as we see it, and then you have the other three who we don't know about. So what I'm going to actually do to help you out a little bit here, I'm going to send you I'll just need to do something here a second. I'm going to send you the photo of this cast list that I've got, just so that you can see it for yourself. I sent you that on Messenger. Because what I would like you to do is, now given that you know nothing about this game, which makes this next part much more interesting, I want you to do some death predictions. Obviously, I can't do death predictions. I want you to do some death predictions, and I want you to give me, you know, we've got a fair chunk of characters there. I want you to pick 3 characters that you think might die, and then how you think they might die.
Okay. Bearing in mind, I know nothing of this story.
That's why this part's very interesting.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe nobody dies. Maybe nobody dies in the whole story.
That seems unlikely.
Very unlikely, yeah.
I reckon Eugene dies. I've no idea how, but I'm going to say Eugene.
Well, Joel is pointing... looks like it might be a crafty little edit, but in the second full trailer he is pointing a gun at Eugene, or at least that's what it looks like, so it's a possible one. And again, Eugene's somebody that again is mentioned, but we don't really know what happened to him, so
partly because it's played by Joe Pantolino, who he's one of those faces that you'll know from certain things. He's if you've seen the film Memento, he's the other kind of main character in the movie Memento, which, if you've not seen it, is a phenomenal film, and you mm-hmm. should definitely go out and watch it. But yeah, I mean, he's been in a whole bunch of things, from Hill Street Blues to The Sopranos and everything in between. And The Matrix, of course. And he plays a horrendous character in The Matrix. So, you know, I'm going to go for him as one character. Is it Mel you said you didn't like? Mel, if she's a horrendous like character, maybe she gets a comeuppance somehow.
I know I said I don't see a lot of people sharing my same thought with that often. But I mean, yeah, that's the conclusion I came away from with her.
It's going to be interesting because the character, the only thing I know the actress from, which is Ariella Barra, I think her name is, she played Gert in Runaways, the Marvel series, one that had the pet dragon, was it? Or pet dinosaur or something? And she was a fairly sweet character in that. So... that's going to be kind of interesting to see her in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so that's Eugene and Mel so far.
Yeah. You said Owen. Was it Owen you said was the not a particularly nice...
I like him. He makes some morally interesting choices. I mean, they all kind of do. But in the community, he's one that gets... He's one that gets pointed out more for his moral choices than what Mel does, and that's never something I've understood with the fan base.
Okay, so, Seth. Yeah. Seth was the one you were talking about, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah. He's another nasty person.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe him as well. Ooh, yeah, looking at the actor. I think maybe him as well.
All right. All right.
Those were the three that I picked up. The guy that played Seth played RoboCop in one of the RoboCop films. One of the not good RoboCop films.
Oh, right. Okay. Nice. Cool. All right. We'll try and remember those names. Actually, I'll just write them down now. So you said Seth, Eugene, and did you say Mel?
Mel.
All right. Cool. All right, we'll swiftly move on from that because I'm not allowed to say anything. I wrote down here what we both want and what we want to see. We kind of already covered that a bit, so we can skip over that. That's just a different way to word that question. I've got Ellie, Dina, and Jesse. It was funny during, because we see Dina and Ellie having a little smooch in one of the trailers. Looks like a more panic situation. I mean, they're all going to be in panic situations. And I love when... I can't remember if it was the host or the panelist or someone from the crowd. And she's like, hey, what's up with Ellie and Dina? She went, they're just friends, guys. That's what her answer was. I thought that was quite funny. So, there's a little something going on between Ellie, Dina, and Jesse. And we're going to delve into that as we go through the story. But, Dina's a very, very important person in Ellie's life. There's a nice little glimpse of... possibly a dance scene that we have as well, where Isabel looks looks very, very happy. So that's really nice as well. And Isabel said like nothing but really good things about Bella's performance in this season as well. Said that like she's very precious to her and all that sort of thing. Speaking of Bella, I just realized I skipped over one of my notes. Bella's pronouns for, not just for this season, but ongoing. We discussed this a little bit in season one, but it's still being brought up for interesting reasons. So Bella herself has said before that you kind of can't misgender her. And she said before things like if you say he... she or they or any of the pronouns. She said before that she goes by kind of any of the pronouns. As we've gotten more into season two, there's been more discussion of one of the pronouns she's landed on more is they, them. And I've seen a lot of people refer to her as they, them. So as we obviously go through the season and talk about Bella and, you know, the scene she's going to be in and her performance and everything else, it's not really going to be... I mean, I don't think I'll ever call Bella he or him. That just won't be something that will really come across in sort of in my brain. But I'm probably going to go between like they or she. I'll probably just like change them up that way or something. Because again, she's kind of said that she doesn't, she's gravitated more towards they, them, but doesn't really mind what you kind of use for her. So would you get, I'm confused as to why this discussion has come up again. Maybe it's because she's leaned more towards they, them. Because I remember when we covered season one and she had kind of announced like, okay, you can go by any pronouns for me and you can't misgender me. Which is interesting for those that deliberately try to misgender people. And she's like, hey, you can't do, you can't call me the wrong thing. You can't insult me in that way.
Yeah.
So I found that kind of interesting. But for me, I'm probably going to go between the two different kind of ones there. So she also did say that during, I can't remember if she said it was the season one set or the season two set, that somebody who was on the crew had an autistic child. I can't remember the age of the child or whatever, and said that they'd noticed certain things within Bella. And of course, they, you know, were working day to day, probably together on set and that sort of stuff. And that Bella came away with an autism diagnosis. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And she said like that it was great when she kind of found out about that, and that was quite freeing and that sort of thing, which, to, you know, sort out or figure out something like that in your life is probably quite freeing when you, you know, somebody helps you with that and you sort of come out on the other side of it. So yeah, any thoughts on the two things here with Bella?
No, I mean, not really. It's entirely up to her what pronoun she uses. Whether it's she, he, they, I'm perfectly happy to use whatever she wants to use or they want to use. They'd be perfectly happy with us calling him whatever. I'm with you. Unlikely I would use he. It's likely to be she or them, but it is interesting, the autism diagnosis stuff as well. I'm glad she's had that sort of diagnosed, because it helps, and you know, they can actually there is things that they can work on at that point, you know, which might make their life a bit easier. So you know, that's good.
Yeah, very, very good. Any of your own thoughts on Ellie, Dina and Jesse and what you could see there, might want to see or whatever?
I really can't comment on that because I don't know the characters at all. So
cool. All right, just thought I'd ask you. Brand new character we had, and Neil has talked about this in, they kind of wanted to do this in season one, but for, you know, this, that, and the other reason, they couldn't quite do it. We have the brilliant, wonderful Catherine O'Hara joining us, who I know from Schitt's Creek. She played the mother in that, and she was just utterly brilliant. Going to be playing a character called Gail, and she's a therapist, which for the apocalypse, I mean, look, even in today's day and age and world and all that sort of thing, therapists are very important. But I imagine, yeah, if you go through something like the apocalypse, that would be very useful and very kind of in demand. It's good that they kind of, now that we're going to have a settled, let's say, family, or all these people as a family, living in Jackson, which is where we'll probably start season two in Jackson, that Gail's going to be in there and is going to be giving him out some therapy. Now, we've seen a couple of little tidbits, a couple of little scenes of Joel in therapy, which is its whole individual ball game. Joel Miller, with everything he's gone through in therapy, you know, losing his daughter, making a choice of saving Ellie, which we see in some of the trailers. He says, you know, I saved her. She says, what did you do? I think it's interesting when, I don't know how much experience you have with this kind of thing, but when you go to speak to somebody like this on a week-to-week basis, which I have experience of, and they say, okay, you should feel free to tell us anything, but if you do, of course, tell us something that's worrying or potentially harmful, that's when they have to maybe tell some other people. And she says in this, again, different context, we don't live in an apocalypse yet, that she's like, hey, no matter what it is, no matter how bad, and you then see a bloodied knife being dipped into water, which is interesting, a bit of editing. She's like, hey, no matter what it is, no matter how kind of bad, just kind of say it out loud. Which I guess is that the apocalypse version of the same question, I suppose, of like, hey, just tell us what's on your mind. But like, you know, I guess she's maybe expecting one of these people to say, like, hey, you know, when I killed this person, they were like this, that, and the other, and there might be some different scenarios. Now, we don't know if, okay, is she just going to be talking to Joel? She could be talking to Ellie, she could be talking to any of these characters, but we have seen there's going to be the particular Joel scene. And he, of course, he does break a little bit and starts a little bit talking about, okay, no, I saved her. That was what happened. But yeah, given how particularly with Game 1, Season 1's story, and when you do have the post 20 years Joel, and he's very buttoned down, very closed off. And of course, that's where Ellie comes and, you know, opens him up and gives him a new lease on life sort of thing, and becomes his new sort of daughter figure or new daughter, and how that, you know, brings him back to humanity and kind of, you know, saves him a bit and leads to him saving her. Now that we're sort of past that a bit, and obviously we've got this lie that Joel's told at the end of the first game, because yes, he did save her, that part is correct, that's true, but you did lie to her, or you had to lie to her to kind of get through that, and exploring that in this second season. So yeah, that could be a very, very interesting thing to delve into season two. So what do you think of a therapist for these characters, and particularly for Joel? I imagine, well,
I mean, a therapist in the apocalypse is certainly an interesting idea, but and if anybody needs therapy, it's Joel, so I think that's quite good.
How much he's going to participate, we'll have to wait and see how closed off he is. And because there's the bit from I think the opening of the first full trailer, and she does like the clock timer thing and was like, okay, do you want to start or what? And he's kind of just sitting there like, cool. He's got that very closed off Joel sort of look, which is be interesting to see how she breaks him down and opens him up, I guess.
Yeah,
so
she's been in a couple of things fairly recently. I mean, she's been in a million different things, but the actress that Catherine O'Hara is obviously very, very well known. She's was in the Beetlejuice movies, and she also is in The Studio, the new Apple series from Seth Rogen. Cool.
Yeah.
She plays the boss of the studio that is ousted to sort of given too much away, because it's in the opening kind of episode. It's the entire premise of it is that Seth Rogen's character becomes the boss of this film studio, and she is the person that is sort of ousted for him to become the boss of the studio, but he's also his mentor, so he's kind of mad at him because he's taken her job, even though it was sort of pushed on him. But I mean, that's been a great show, and she's fabulous in it, so she's a great actress, so I think this will be an interesting role for her.
Even the contents of those scenes aside, having Pedro Pascal and Catherine O'Hara in a scene together is just opportunity for gold there. And that's, you know, Neil and Craig have both kind of said, like, because I think Craig did say he like directed the actual scene, and he was just like, okay, I'm, you know, just let these two do their thing kind of thing. So that'll be an interesting new bit to get into for season two. I've got the WLF and the Scars. I'm going to try and be very limited with what I talk about with them. We have seen in the trailer there is this group, this military kind of group with a tank with WLF written on their gear. So that's them. And then the Scars are the other ones. And they're going to be having a chat with each other. taking things from there, and this is where we're going to get into, again, you're going to have a kind of more expanded thing because we do have a naturally bigger cast, but some other groups of people in this game. That is one of the things that helps kind of expand it beyond the kind of, you know, like, okay, first game was Joel and Ellie and what's going on there. Second game kind of expands beyond that with some of the other characters. Any thoughts on the WLF and the Scars?
Not really, because again, apart from the little bits I've seen in the trailer, I don't really know an awful lot. It's interesting to have new groups in there, obviously, but yes.
I'm really, really excited again to see what they look like on screen, and excited to see. It's one of the things as well, because it's sharing is nice and good sometimes, right? And it's a case for me as well of when people who don't know anything, such as yourself, about this story and seeing not just you but other people in that same category react week to week to like these things happening. And when you come across the WLF and the Scars and to see what they're going to look like on screen and what these two groups are going to do, yeah, I can't wait to see what that looks like on screen as well. So, yeah, I'm excited to start talking about them when we see them on the screen and everything that they get up to. But can't really tell you anything past that. Then I just thought I'd have some fun here as well with, because that's kind of the end of my notes, and I don't really think there's anything else particular I can get into again without the ice cracking, the spoilery ice cracking and me falling in, which is what we don't want. Just thought I'd do a fun little recap of some dates. So where this all began, The Last of Us for PS3 on 2013. Then we had the DLC, Last of Us Left Behind, PS3, February 14th, so nice grizzly Valentine's Day present from, oh my god, that was 11 years ago. And then Last of Us Remastered, which was the combination of the two on PS4, 29th of July 2014. Then The Last of Us Part 2, which this season is adapting at least part from, whether it's a quarter, half, or whatever, is adapting from that on June 19th, 2020. Fun little fact about that date as well. I don't know why I remember this. Back when, obviously, COVID came along in 2020, football had to pause itself as well because, you know, physical contact and sport and because the world had sort of stopped. And Liverpool were winning the league at that point. They hadn't won it. They had to put the whole Premier League season on pause. There was, I think it was like 10 games left or something. You're talking about 5 years ago, so I don't remember. And on that Friday, 19th of June, on the same Friday, I couldn't spend some of the day playing Last of Us 2 because Man United played Tottenham. I actually can't remember what the score was. I was going to look it up for a bit of fun for this podcast, but it was a game from 5 years ago, so I don't remember. I think we won, but I can't remember, but that came back, and that was, remember when we had the weird thing where, like, the football stadiums were empty and you could hear them kicking the ball and stuff?
It
was,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It was back to that point, so, yeah. And then, unfortunately, Liverpool went on to win their first league in 30 years, and that was bad as well. Last of Us Part 1, so this is the PS5 remaster on the ground up. They're about to do it again in a couple of weeks.
Or so. Anything.
Yeah, they're about to do it again anyway. So, Last of Us Part 1 on PS5, oh, I didn't write the date for that one. That was September, though. The September before Season 1 came out. I don't know why I didn't write the date down for that one. Then Last of Us Part 2 remastered very recently on January 19th, 2024, which came with the No Return mode as well. And then Last of Us TV series development was announced on, I think it was March 5th, or it was in March at least, of 2020. And then the big casting news that we had was Ellie and Joel cast February 10th, 2021, which was still, yeah, just under 2 years from the actual show's premiere, which was in January of 2023. I think it was January 10th or 11th or something. And yeah, fast forward, we're going to have April 13th/14th of 2025. So just a fun little history recap to go through there. We do have some feedback as well, which I think we should get into straight away, unless you have anything else you want to talk about, or we should just get straight into the feedback. Of course, if you would like to write in, of course you can write in spoilery stuff, because it will go to my inbox and not David's. I'm glad, I was thinking this, like, this whole time, like, okay, I hope David doesn't accidentally stumble across, like, spoilers and things, and it doesn't seem like that's happened at all.
I'm
which
quite
is
good at avoiding spoilers. Yeah. I know people complain so much about spoilers on the internet, and I run a website that deals with TV shows, and it's very, very rare I get spoiled.
Interesting.
You know, I'm pretty good at avoiding things. So
nice. Good, good. Let's hope that still happens until Sunday or Monday, whenever you watch it. All right, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and his information in the show notes. Any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, whatever, about Last of Us or any of our other shows. Beth writes in and says, hopefully this gets in before you do your preview. You did manage to do that. I know Matt's excited for all of it, but are there any particular moments you're looking forward to seeing in live action? There's a lot of stuff involving, we've seen guitars in the trailer. There's a bit where Ellie's holding one and Dina is nearby. I'm looking forward to that bit. That's one of the best moments of the game. I'm really looking forward to seeing the scars as well. I'm looking forward to seeing all of it. The WLF and the scars, but the scars are a bit more interesting to me. Not that the WLF aren't interesting, it's just the scars and what everything that they do is more interesting to me. Looking forward to seeing just how they come across on TV and in live action, given the things that they get up to. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing what is the opening scene going to be? I have a thought or a prediction as to where it could open. Might not be the two or three different things I've thought of. And also just kind of being back in this world again and kind of just spending more time with these characters. Granted, they don't have very nice lives, but just kind of being back in this world again. There are unfortunately a lot of moments I can't mention here that are very spoilery heavy that I can't mention, but those are some of the spoiler free ones I'm looking forward to seeing. So hopefully that answers that question. Abed says, I saw the reviews are out and a lot of moaning about the split of the story and it feeling incomplete. Thoughts? It's fascinating the things that people do and don't pay attention to. Now, look, I'm not expecting everybody to know the same things that I know about Last of Us, right? Like, not everybody's in those same circles or gets the same information that I get because they look at different things online, or maybe they're not paying attention to Last of Us news or whatever. The one thing that's been repeatedly said by both Craig and Neil since season one, I think, is like, hey, when we get to the second game, it's going to be split into at least two seasons. And they've probably said that half a dozen times in the last two and a bit years. And there are still, and again, maybe you don't check out interviews or you read news or whatever. But also for those of you that aren't aware of that, where is it that you've become aware of how big the second game is? I don't really get how some of you are getting the panicked part of the information, right? Like, oh my god, I've heard this second game's bigger. How are they going to do it in seven episodes? But like, how have you come across the information that part two is bigger, but not the piece of information that the two showrunners have given, which is, yeah, the second game's bigger, which means we need more than one season? How are you finding the one bit of information, but not the other? I don't really kind of get that. And I was saying to you before we started recording, I think I did mention this earlier, of like, oh, it gets renewed for season three. Oh my god, the third game's going to need to come out because the third season is going to be the third game. It's like, okay, can everyone just like calm down for a second? I was like, oh my god, part three needs to come out next year so that when season three comes out the year after. And it's like, we're not just going to slam this content out the door like that. And I am talking about people here that have like had screeners for the whole second season and have seen more than I even then have, because I haven't seen the second season. And because you'd assume from that then that, okay, in some way, shape or form, and again, I don't know in what way, shape or form it would be, second season's probably going to end somewhere on a cliffhanger, right? Like, if you're saying incomplete story and it's split into two halves, you can imagine there's a cliffhanger somewhere. But again, I don't get how those who have had so much of screeners for the second season are moaning about it feeling incomplete and didn't expect that, or thought the whole game was going to be in seven episodes. I'm not sure where this sort of, yeah, how that's kind of ended up happening. And when I started to see those things come up in conversations, I thought, oh, it feels incomplete and all this sort of stuff. I had in my mind, okay, not going to be the whole game for the second season. I immediately, every single time I saw that in a review, after the reviews came out, I ignored those comments. And more focused on like, okay, how faithful is the adaption and those sorts of comments as well. So, very weird how all this information has weirdly gone around, but I don't know. Anyway, what are your thoughts on that situation?
I mean, I've not really As I say, I've been fairly good at sort of not finding spoilers and not following things. So, you know, from that point of view, I've not really seen an awful lot of people kind of talking about it because I haven't gone looking for it. But, it does surprise me how, I mean, there are points where people don't read because.
No.
I will write an article and it will say something specific in the article about something like a TV air date or like, you know, it will say specifically this won't come out, you know, we don't have a UK air date for this, but such and such a show has been renewed. And there'll still be a comment underneath of like, when's this come out? You know, I posted something recently on The Handmaid's Tale. About the fact that there is a May premiere date for season 6 of The Handmaid's Tale, which is on Prime Video. It's also coming to Channel 4. And there is a comment, literally, I mean, it literally says the date, May, whatever it is, the date on the article, and says May in the title. And there is still a comment that somebody wrote underneath that going, this isn't true, it's not on Prime Video. And you're like, not right now, because it's not been released yet. Not on
Not in May yet. Yeah.
I mean, we're not in May yet. I mean, I know it's out in the US. It's not out here yet. So yeah. People don't read.
Yeah, but what I mean with the season split thing is that information's been out there for 2 years.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they might have mentioned that like before, because it was a case of, okay, game one was already out. Whatever, because I've got the dates in front of me, haven't I? So the series was announced March 2020, which was before the second game came out. And I think, somewhere in between that and just after or whatever, they almost kind of immediately, once we got past the season one talk, and it was okay, once we get past season one, because the second game was then coming out and realized it was bigger. And Craig and Neil were asked about that pretty much straight away. So that's just the bit that I'm getting tripped up on of, When you hear something like, okay, season one is 9 episodes and is this long and it was the correct length, at least in my opinion or whatever. They didn't really like, you know, miss anything or rush anything, I don't think. And then you hear, okay, season two is covering a game that is bigger but is 7 episodes. How do you then come to the conclusion that they're going to cram the whole thing into a bigger story into less episodes? Why would somebody, I mean, people have their opinions about Craig and Neil and whatever, and some of them aren't healthy opinions, but they don't look like idiots. You know what I mean? And let's not forget, like, outside of Last of Us, Craig Mazin did, like, Chernobyl, which was, like, one of the best things HBO has done. That was fantastic. So, yeah, I just don't understand the trip up there with information, but I guess it's not my problem to deal with.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from that. But yeah, in terms of it feeling incomplete, again, there's possibly like a cliffhanger somewhere. I could guess as to what that is, but we'll have to wait and see for the end of the second season. But let's get past episode one first. We still have all that to deal with. Hayley says, are there any gameplay-specific bits you're hoping to get adapted into the show, even with it being more story-focused? Any Easter eggs, gameplay mechanics, etc.? I guess this is more aimed at me, I suppose. Again, there's similar things, you know, like crafting and things like that you do in the second game that you do in the first. I suppose one thing that, because you can go and watch like a spoiler-free video on the new gameplay ideas in part two. There are videos for that, and that doesn't spoil anything, so I can sort of talk about that. There's things like, because you control an older Ellie more, because again, we've got the 5-year jump in the second game, and one of the big gameplay differences between in part one and part two is when you're playing as Joel, and he's this bigger guy who literally punches rather than uses a knife, and there's a big gameplay differences between Joel and Ellie. And one of the things Joel probably could do but doesn't do in the first game is he doesn't like go prone, for example, and there's not as much high grass. But then there's things like more boxes, and it's more of a crouch sort of peak cover kind of system. Whereas in part two, and this is one of the things Neil explained ages ago when they were making part two, because more time has passed and people aren't, you know, taking care of gardening, let's say, and you're getting more overgrown things, which build more into the infected and builds more into the environment and how things just keep being more overgrown because, you know, people aren't bothering to cut grass because they're trying not to get killed. You can go prone in tall grass, and that's like one of the stealth mechanics in the game. Now, I'm not expecting like a 5-minute scene of Bella Ramsey, you know, crawling through long grass or something. There could maybe be like a sly little reference to that or something similar. The other thing as well, I can't believe I haven't brought this up yet, is because you're going to come across more people, new groups, again, expanded world, there are dogs in the second game, which you will have to kill unless you want to die and start the checkpoints over and over again. And there's a very cool mechanic that, because obviously dogs use their noses and they sniff out things. Because, well, probably every person, particularly Ellie, has her own scent, they can track you with that. Now, if you actually do use listen mode, which, by the way, that's the one thing I don't really ever use in Last of Us. I don't know why, I just don't ever use listen mode. It's never sort of come back to bite me, so to speak. Is when you use listen mode, not only can you see kind of where people are through footsteps and stuff, there's like this, you know, like how they do in certain cartoons where there's like a smell breeze from like a pie or something that, like in a Tom and Jerry thing where a character will see like a smell line sort of thing that leads to the window where the pie is. You get a little bit of a thing like that just so that you can track like where the dog is smelling you from and you can kind of use that to sort of get away. Long story short, you probably will have to kill whatever dog you come across. Yeah, I wonder if we're going to see Ellie kill some dogs in this game. And that is, again, a thing where, not in line with the violent thing I discussed earlier, but yeah, you can use shotguns on dogs and they don't end up in one piece. So, yeah, which I've had to do a lot of times. And shotgun's probably the most effective thing you could use against them because you could just blast them. It's not nice, it's not great. But you'll have to do it unless you want to die, which is another point. And I know that people are quite sensitive when it comes to dogs dying. It gets used a lot in sad storylines for when, you know, dogs in totally different contexts, but when dogs die in certain stories and it's very sad. So that might be a thing that's going to be happening. So I'm curious to see what that kind of looks like. There's the workbenches as well. Now, I can't remember how many times we saw Joel doing like maintenance on his guns in season one. We saw him like reloading and things like that. I'm talking about going up to a bench and like taking a gun apart. Because one of the things they do between one and two is you have a workbench system in the first game. Now, if you play the PS3 version, it's totally differently animated. But if you play the later versions, they show a bit more. And they put a lot, and I mean a lot of effort, into when you play as Ellie or Joel and you go up to the workbenches, it properly zooms in on the guns and you can properly see them like taking it apart, and there's loads and loads of detail there. And again, you've got to remember one thing that they're doing with this adaption is they're going more for realism rather than like 15-minute gunplay sequences, because we have a story to tell here. I wonder if you might see some of that, because there's a lot of emphasis on, okay, we have an improved workbench system and a lot of stuff kind of going on there. So maybe we might see some of that. Again, there's other stuff I could maybe bring up, but those are some of the things. Is there any gameplay bits and pieces you're thinking of that could be in the second season?
No, because I have no idea what the gameplay is, so
all right, cool. All right, last bit here, last question to go through is Tyler writes in and has a very intriguing question. It says, first time, long time, welcome. Says, what does Matt do if it's bad? Also, what does David do if it's bad?
I will tell you.
Okay, how bad could this second season be? What's the... Okay, you got HBO, you've got Craig Mazin, you've got Neil Druckmann, you've got a fantastic cast. The only... I mean, I can't imagine, like, I come away from this and, like, okay, you ruined it, it was awful, and, you know, be really annoyed about it. I just can't see that happening. again, you may have things where, like, I can think of certain story bits that may look or play out a certain way on screen that won't, that might not play out the same way I've imagined, but the way that that's different might work in its own way, because I don't have the brain of, you know, Craig and Neil. Yeah, if we're to think of unrealistic scenarios, I suppose, how, in what way do you think that this could be a bad season of TV?
I mean,
you've just got a lot of high caliber stuff going on here.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being bad. I mean, just because the first season was so good, the amount of, you'd almost have to put the same amount of effort in to make it bad, I think.
Right. I mean, like almost deliberately sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, I mean, yeah, Craig Mazin could screw it up, but he's working so closely with Neil Druckmann, and Neil Druckmann has a vested interest in this being good because, you know, he doesn't want to destroy the thing which is his golden goose. I can't imagine them letting it be bad, if that makes sense.
Which is why these things take so long as well to make, because you have to be careful with what you do, I suppose.
Yeah.
And look, just because, I mean, to me, like, Apple and HBO sit at the top of the tree for, like, reliable prestige content. I mean, yeah, Netflix has good shows, Amazon has good shows, they all have their own handful of good shows, Disney Plus as well. But when you talk to people about prestige TV, they often, HBO is still, I think, at the top of that tree, and then you have Apple sometimes sneaking into that conversation. And I mean, at least from the seasons of TV I've watched from Apple, I don't think they've made a bad one yet. Granted, that's not been around anywhere near as long as HBO. HBO has made the odd not great season or bad season. I mean, the prime example you can think of is True Detective Season 2, which, by the way, I didn't actually finish because I couldn't be bothered to.
Yeah.
It got to, like, episode 2 or 3, and the comments came across of, like, oh, this is just a massive step down, this is really bad. Yeah, it made me just, like, I just lost interest in that second season. But, you know, with that show, you can jump back in with any season you've got an anthology. That's, yeah, one of the rare examples I can think of an outright bad season that HBO has done. And look, maybe we're sitting here at the end of the 7 episodes and be like, what the hell is, like, what are you guys, what the hell happened here, kind of thing. And those have happened with big projects. It's not completely impossible. I'd put, like, 5, at the most, 10% chance of this being, like, bad. I mean, in terms of it actually being, like, bad and badly written television, 5% or less. I even think that that's maybe high. You just have too many people working on this that know how high stakes this is, and how many eyes are going to be on it, how many, you know, analysis, breakdown, how many eyes are going to be on this, and that sort of thing. Which is, again, why 7 episodes take 2 and a bit years to make, because you have to craft them very carefully. To actually answer that question, I can't really answer that question, because I just can't physically imagine that scenario. We'll just have to wait and see, I suppose, what it's like. All right, that's it for all of our preseason coverage. It is time for when we do the next episode to actually talk about these episodes. So just a bit of a kind of very quick recap as to the next week, because I have not mentioned on this podcast, by the way. So in terms of No Return Mode, which is something you can get free with Last of Us Part 2, any of the versions, to do a little kind of mini celebration kind of thing, and Bill and Marlene have also been added to the game mode as well. At around Saturday, so on Saturday at around 8 p.m, that's UK time, so adjust that to your own time zone, I'm going to, because I've not actually played a lot of No Return, and I've still got some things to unlock and some things to do, so it's not just sort of playing it for the sake of it, just to kind of do a little celebration stream on Saturday night at about 8 p.m. It'll be on YouTube. It's called Entertainment Talk Plays. Go over there, subscribe, hit the bell. You have to hit the bell for some reason, but you've got to do that as well. And that will be streamed live. I will go live for an hour and a bit. It depends how long I keep playing for and whatever else. And that will be one of the very few ways I can actually play the game spoiler-free, can talk about the second season, whatever. And I can play some more of that. So look out for that. That will be on Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube. Then Sunday, at some point in the middle of the night, I guess, look out for podcast. That'll be the first episode of season three. Again, very off the cuff, kind of my first thought, and I probably will make that episode spoiler free, just so you can kind of, in case you haven't seen the episode but you see the podcast there, you can kind of dive in spoiler free. Then our breakdown of episode one next week Wednesday, and then either Thursday or Friday, depending on how things work out, might do a bonus spoiler episode for the first episode, see where we're at, what might happen, all those sorts of things. And then I'm not going to stream, by the way, I'm not streaming No Return every Saturday at 8. That's just the pre-thing for the season 2, so a little celebration thing. So don't be waiting every Saturday at 8 for that to start. I'm not going to do it every Saturday. And then, the 3 episodes that we're doing, just look out for those on those similar dates. Again, if I have any updates, anything like that, I'll put them out on Twitter and things. So, all right, that's it for now. Thank you very much for listening. You can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcasts. Please support what we're doing here and check out the different episodes, whether my social media, and if someone mentions something we podcasted on, because I'm sure within your next week, you'll probably come across somebody mentioning The Last of Us. So if you do, try and mention this podcast in the conversation, just to help spread the word of mouth. Social media, sharing a podcast, all that sort of thing, please help us out that way as well. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geektown Radio Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. David, you mentioned that earlier, which is yours. What's going on over there?
Well, Geektown Radio is back out again this week for episode 455, I think we're on. That was quite interesting. Daryl was on from Hollywood North News. We did a review of Fast X. I talked a bit about Bosch, the new Kevin Bacon series on Prime Video called The Bondsman. He reviewed a thing called Late Night with the Devil, which is a horror movie which looked pretty decent. Talked a bit about Wheel of Time as well, and a whole bunch of other things. So that was quite a good show. But that's up on the website. That's episode 455 of Geektown Radio. I've just posted a pre-game thing for the our yearly TV bloodbath, which is when all the TV shows get renewed and cancelled. So going through NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox and CW, all their shows, what's been renewed, what's been cancelled so far, what they have picked up and what they might potentially pick up. So that's all on one big post. You can go and check that out on the website at geektown.co.uk as well.
Nice. I thought you were going to say, I've just posted an article saying Yellow Jackets is cancelled.
No.
Good. Yeah, we need that renewal. Interesting to see if that's before or after Friday as well. We'll have to wait and see. But that's for the content for Hear Me Roar as well. That is that. And then, yeah, check us out on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks very much for listening. And see you Saturday for the stream thing. And then Sunday for episode 1. We'll see what happens. All right, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.